Our text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 17. I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. The message of the morning is this: leave the best legacy of all, be a spiritual father. Leave the best legacy of all, be a spiritual father. Now, I want you all, this always takes me back to my Youth for Christ days, but I'd like you to close your eyes. I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'd like you to think about the last time you were at a graveside service. The last time you were at a graveside service. And imagine as you're walking through the cemetery, or maybe even the last time you visited a cemetery, the last time you walked through the rows and you were looking at the headstones, and I want you to think of the tackiest gravestone you've seen. I know you've seen them. I know you've seen these tacky, gaudy, awful headstones. Think about it. Think about, what did that headstone look like? What did that gravestone look like? And why was it so jarring to you? Think about that you looked at it and you thought, good gracious, your family thought that would be what we should remember you for forever. We've all seen, you can open up your eyes if you'd like. I saw which ones of you guys had your eyes open too. So, you know, I can see better than I can hear. But, you know, so all of you had these images. So would anybody be brave enough to describe the tacky gravestone that they imagined? Emily says, what if that's somebody's family? So, well, that's why I want them to describe it and not me, so I don't get in trouble if I describe. But, okay, so we've all seen them, right? We've all seen gravestones, and you look at them and you think, well, that? That's where we're going to mark your body? We look at them, and headstones, remember, headstones are there to provide a memorial. They're there as a memory, to memorialize the person, and also as a comfort to the family, to the living, to the survivors. We've all seen them. And imagine, too, think about the last funeral you went to, or think about the last really bad funeral you've been to. How many of you guys have been to a really uncomfortable funeral? By show of hands. Okay, Marcia said, Marcia's willing to admit it. Yeah, Cindy, you've been to a very uncomfortable funeral. I have been to a fair number of funerals, and the truth is I like doing funerals as a pastor, not because I like people to die, but because it's a good opportunity to have a meaningful conversation. You can get really serious in a funeral because people are already serious. But what's really fascinating is, have you ever been to a funeral for somebody who either wasn't a Christian or who was an extremely worldly Christian? Have you ever been to a funeral of somebody who really didn't leave much of a legacy? Where people are trying to talk about it, and you've all been to these, right? You go to a funeral, and maybe this person had 5 or 6 children, and they worked all their life, and you know, the family stands up, and what do they always say? Well, you know, Dad sure loved the Buckeyes. Okay, well, so do like 20 million other people. That's what you're remembered for? That you loved a bunch of steroided up 18-year-olds throwing a piece of pig leather around? That's what you're remembered for? You live 80 years and that's all people can say? Boy, Dad sure loved to plop himself down in front of the TV. Ooh, Mom had a lovely shell collection. You should have seen the collection of shells she had. Oh, she had shells that were white, and shells that were pink, and oh, so many shells. And oh, look at the thing, Aunt Bonnie's Hummel collection. I'll never forget Aunt Bonnie's Hummel collection. Well, nobody wants Aunt Bonnie's Hummel collection, but we'll never forget it, right? And we go to these funerals and we have these memories, these reminders. And listen, there's nothing wrong with liking the Buckeyes. It's a lot better than liking that team up north, I'll be honest. But and there's nothing wrong with collecting Hummels or collecting shells. But if that's your legacy, there's something wrong. If that's what you remember, if I die and the best thing my kids have to say for me is, oh boy, Dad sure loved playing chess, then I've failed as a man, I've failed as a father, I've failed as a pastor. Well, I love playing chess, it's very entertaining to me. But if that's all I'm remembered for, something's wrong. Brothers and sisters, we need to create a legacy. We need, as Christians, to leave a legacy. And the legacy that God wants us to leave is a legacy of spiritual children, a legacy of people we have led to Christ, a legacy of people whom we have discipled in the faith, a legacy of people who we have brought from eternal damnation to eternal life. That is what we are supposed to do. That is what our mission in this world is. That is what we're supposed to be about, is about being a spiritual father. Now, I make sure to emphasize spiritual father. Spiritual father, not just physical father. I know this is Father's Day. We got a lot of fathers in the room. But being a physical father, being a biological father, while that does create a legacy, it falls short of the highest goal. Being a mother, as wonderful as being a mother is, so I'm told, I haven't tried it, but as wonderful as being a mother is, being a biological mother, being a physical mother, being a material maternal mother, but not being a spiritual mother is also falling short. Isaiah 65, and we'll talk about this text when we get to chapter 9 or 10 of Acts, when we go through our series in Acts. It talks about the eunuchs. Now remember, in Israel, the eunuchs were not allowed to approach the altar. But God says to the eunuchs, he says, I will give you a legacy better than sons and daughters. There is a legacy better than sons and daughters, and a lot of people stop short there. That's where a lot of Christians think that their duty is simply to have a bunch of kids, and that's all that it is. No. Having a lot of kids is, I think, a good thing. But having a bunch of kids and not raising them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, that's a failure. It is a failure. Brothers and sisters, it is our duty to be, as Christians, it is our duty to be spiritual fathers. And so today, I want to encourage everybody to be a dad. D-A-D. Everybody should be a dad. Now, I know those of you of the female persuasion are thinking, Luke, I don't really know that I have the necessary equipment to be a dad. But you do, because dad here is an acronym. D-A-D. We are to be dedicated to the gospel. We are to announce the gospel, and we are to disciple others in the gospel. D-A-D. Dedicated, announce, disciple. Dedicated to the gospel, announce the gospel, and disciple others in the gospel. That's how you are to be a dad. That's how everyone is to be a dad. So let's begin with the first D, dedicated to the gospel. Now, we could go all through the scriptures and we could find all sorts of examples, but particularly right here, I want you to look at what Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Now remember, the Corinthian church was a church that was very wayward. They were a church that was falling in with Greek philosophy and trying to understand the faith through that. They were a church that was falling into this idea that the body isn't really important. It's called Gnosticism. The body isn't really important. All that matters is the soul. So it's okay to get drunk and sleep with prostitutes. That's fine, because the body is sinful anyways, and they dismiss the body. And Paul is saying, no, the body is you. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit if you're in Christ, and so it's important to use the body rightly. The Corinthian church was having all kinds of problems. They had a lot of infighting. They had a lot of backbiting. They had a lot of struggles, a lot of problems. And Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthian church, he gives them some advice. And he says in verse 16, Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Years ago, I was preaching, and I made the statement, and this I made the statement that all of us, that every Christian should strive to be able to say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Now I have a very dear friend who said, well, don't say that. Don't say that. That makes you sound arrogant. That makes you sound proud. And there are a lot of Christians who aren't following Christ very well, and we shouldn't imitate that. Well, that's their problem. All of us should be able to say, imitate me as I follow Christ. What that means is, I want you to be like me in as much as I am like Jesus. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, hey, if you've seen me, the way you've seen me try to be like Jesus, I want you to be like me in those things. Now, certainly Paul had flaws. He was not perfect. He doesn't claim perfection. But what he is saying is, the way that I follow Christ, you should also follow Christ. Why? Because he was dedicated to Christ. He was dedicated to Christ, and he was dedicated to the gospel. The gospel that means that we live out our faith. He was dedicated to the gospel in living. He was dedicated to the gospel as doctrine. If we turn back to the first chapter, we would see what? We would see that people despise the gospel. Greeks look for wisdom and Jews look for signs, but we preach Christ crucified, which is what? Weakness to the Greeks, and it's foolishness to the Greeks. It's stupid to the Jews. Paul is telling them, he's telling the Corinthian church, that Christians need to be dedicated to the gospel. Not dedicated to philosophy, as good as philosophy may be. Not dedicated to signs and wonders and wonderful moves of the Spirit, but dedicated to the gospel. Dedicated to the truth that Christ Jesus died to save sinners. That Christ Jesus rose again to give eternal life to sinners, that Christ Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to indwell believers, that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, transforms the lives of believers. Being dedicated to the gospel made Paul a person that people could imitate. Every Christian should strive to be a person that others should imitate. We should seek to have so much truth and purity of doctrine and so much holiness of life that people look at us and say, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I want to live the way she lives. I want to think the way she thinks. All of us should strive to be like that. And if we're not, then we're falling short. We need to repent and we need to get on the, you know, get going. We need to be dedicated to the gospel. Heart, soul, body, mind, spirit, everything about us needs to be dedicated to the gospel. We need to be the kind of people that others can and should imitate. Because people are going to see us, and they're going to get their ideas of Christianity from this. People are going to get their idea of what it means to be a Christian from us. We've all seen bad fathers, haven't we? You don't have to name names, but we've all seen bad fathers, haven't we? Some of you may have had pretty bad fathers. I know some people in this church had horrible fathers. And what do the bad fathers do? They teach you bad ways. They teach you corrupt ways. They teach you wrong ways to do things. We shouldn't be that kind of a father. We should strive to be fathers, to be people who demonstrate the gospel through dedication in our living, in our preaching, in our teaching, in our thinking, in the way we speak, in the way we treat others. We should be dedicated to the gospel. So that's our first D. Be dedicated to the gospel. A in our DAD acronym is announce the gospel. Now, many of you guys have heard the famous quote. I'm not sure if it's actually a quote or if it's kind of just one of those things that may not have been said, but St. Francis of Assisi is famous for saying, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words, right? Everybody's heard that, you know. We preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. And St. Francis's point is kind of moving back. Be dedicated to Christ so that in your living verifies and validates the proclamation of your mouth, that you're not a hypocrite. That's St. Francis's point. But here's the question. When is it necessary to use the words to preach the gospel? I'll give you a multiple choice. A, never. B, sometimes. C, always. Actually, I should change my fingers because I know what the right answer is. A, never. B, sometimes. C, always. C, always. See why I switched fingers? Right. Yeah, always. It is always necessary to use words. Always necessary to use words. Romans 14, what do we read in Romans? How can they call upon the one of whom they have not heard, and how can they hear unless someone preaches? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no way to separate the proclamation, the annunciation, the declaration of the gospel from the actual words of the gospel. You're a sinner. Christ died for sinners. By faith in him, you can have eternal life. That's the gospel. It's a nutshell gospel, but that's the gospel, and we need to announce it. Paul is telling the Corinthians, he says, I became your father in Christ. How did Paul become their father? Because he went and he preached to them. He told them the gospel. He says, you might have 10,000 guardians in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. One, Paul led them to Christ. He led them to the Lord. He's the one that proclaimed the gospel to them, and the Holy Spirit brought that message to life. Now here, let me make sure we hit that point. Because simply telling people the gospel isn't enough. That we need the Holy Spirit's power in our preaching. We need the Holy Spirit's power in our evangelism. We need the Holy Spirit's power to make it true to people and to give them, to regenerate them, to give them spiritual life. We can't do that on our own. Paul says that he saved people, and Paul also says, I can't save anybody. Paul knows how to walk that line. We proclaim the gospel to people. We lead people to Christ, but we know that it's ultimately God who does the work, right? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. But remember, Paul also planted, and Apollos also watered. God gives the growth, but we have to do the work as well. That God uses means. That's the way the world works. We need to announce the gospel. We need to be willing to proclaim the word of God. That is our mission. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ were making his appeal through us, be ye reconciled to God. That is our duty. That is our mission. That is our purpose, to announce the gospel. You can't be a spiritual father. You can't leave a spiritual legacy unless you announce the gospel with words. Announce the gospel. So, the first D, be dedicated to the gospel. D, A, announce the gospel. And finally, the last D, disciple others in the gospel. Disciple others in the gospel. Now, what do we call the kind of dad who gets a lady pregnant and then has nothing to do with the kids later? Deadbeat. Yeah, deadbeat is a pretty nice way of putting it. I've got some stronger words for it, but I can't really say them in church. But that's what we call them. We call them deadbeat dads. Gets a girl pregnant and has nothing to do with the kid. Don't be a deadbeat spiritual father. Don't be a deadbeat dad. If you're going to lead somebody to Christ, if you're going to announce the gospel to them and they're going to believe, do your very best to disciple them in the gospel. If you see people who have been led to faith in this church, we see new people who are coming into the faith, disciple them in the gospel. If you're living a life that's dedicated to the gospel, so that means you're living a holy life and your doctrine is sound and true, you should be able to help other people get true and correct doctrine and live a holy life. Don't be a deadbeat dad. And don't just be a mediocre dad. A lot of mediocre dads out there. A lot of mediocre dads. They're present, but they're not really present. Oh, they'll take their kid to summer camp. You know, they'll take their kid to every soccer camp and baseball camp and hockey camp there is. But do they ever pray with them? Do they teach them right from wrong? Do they discipline them? Do they sacrifice for them? Do they sacrifice? Do they raise money for them? Do they build an account for them? Do they train them up in the right way? We need to disciple each other. We need to be willing to accept discipleship. All of us do. But to truly be good spiritual fathers, to be a good spiritual dad, we need to disciple others. We need to disciple others. There are also people who take care of people who aren't their kids. Emily has said for years, and I'm sure Teresa can confirm this, that the poor school system, the struggle that the school system has is that the school is trying to be a teacher and a parent and a psychologist and a psychiatrist and a doctor and a nurse. And they're trying to fill all these roles because the parents aren't present in their kids' lives. And so these poor teachers, they can't, the kids can't behave normally. They can't behave adequately because they haven't been raised to behave normally, behave like kids that aren't psychopaths. I know every parent has kids that act like psychos. You know, I know. My kids act like crazy people a lot, you know. But we've got so many people who have to step in and fill in the role. When parents don't take care of their children, somebody has to fill in that role. Or you know what happens to those kids? They end up on the news. Somebody got shot. Somebody got stabbed. Somebody robbed a bank. Somebody overdosed. Somebody raped somebody. Somebody was raped. Somebody's pregnant. That young man, you guys read the news, that young man who got caught down in Florida, accused of murdering his baby. What happened in that kid's life? He's not old. He's not old, but his life is over. Where was his father? Where was somebody to lead him along the way? Where was there somebody to take him by the hand and say, stop living like this. Don't do this. Where was the person to raise him up, to teach him the faith, to teach him how to behave, to teach him how to be holy? There are a lot of bad dads in this world. Probably the majority of fathers in this world don't even meet human standards of goodness. But we're called to a higher standard, brothers and sisters. All of us are called to a higher standard. We are called to be dads, everybody in this room. And it doesn't stop. You don't retire from being a dad. You don't retire from it. Jim, do you worry about your kids at all? But they're grown-ups. Okay. Ernie, you still worry about your kids? Okay, he can't hear me. But Jim's right. Mothers know this. Do you ever stop being a mother? Do mothers ever stop worrying? Do they ever stop caring? Nancy's shaking her head no. Kathy's shaking her head no. You never stop worrying about your kids. Joni's sitting right next to you. You don't have to shake your head no. You never stop worrying about your kids. There's no retirement from being a dad. There's no retirement from being a mom. And the same thing is true for being a spiritual father, being a spiritual dad, being somebody who's dedicated to the gospel. You will never stop needing to be dedicated to the gospel. Amen? Amen. You'll never need to stop announcing the gospel, right? If we're here, there's somebody God wants us to share the word of God with. I promise you that is the case. God does not have you here because he thinks you're useless. And you're just waiting to get your card punched for heaven. If you are in this world, God has work for you to do. God has somebody for you to share the gospel with. If you're here in this world, God has somebody that he wants you to announce the gospel to. And lastly, disciple others in the gospel. If you are in this world, there is somebody who has less experience than you, somebody that you can mentor in the Lord, somebody that you can be a true father to in Christ Jesus. We must be dedicated to the gospel. We must announce the gospel, and we should disciple others in the gospel. Brothers and sisters, on this Father's Day, let's celebrate real fathers, biological fathers, and let's celebrate the good ones, because some of you had some really good ones. But let's also strive to be spiritual dads, to be dedicated to the gospel, announce the gospel, and disciple others in the gospel. Let's pray. God, we come to you grateful because so many of us had wonderful fathers. So many of us had truly good and holy fathers who led us in the faith and who taught us. And all of us who are here, all of us who have believed, all of us have spiritual fathers too. All of us had somebody or a group of people who shared the gospel with us and through whom the Holy Spirit made it real, through whom we were saved. And so we are grateful for them as well. And so, Father, we ask you to help each and every one of us to be grateful for the fathers we had and also strive to be good fathers, to strive to be spiritual dads, to lead others to Christ, and to disciple them in the faith. Help us all, Lord, to see the opportunities that are before us and to walk into them by faith in obedience to you. Amen.